Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Maybe seat him. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Grandmother's Day. Happy everything. I just have been sitting here just enjoying you and enjoying the atmosphere here. You can feel Jesus, right? The worship was absolutely fabulous. My son plays bass in a praise band, so I always enjoy the band, and I just I'm just thrilled. Thank you for the plane ride, dinner last night, and just everything. It's just been fabulous. The hotel room with lots of soccer kids in there. They're following me around. I've been in other hotels where they were. While I was sitting there, this question came to me, and I said, Lord, do you want me to ask this question? And he said, yes. So I'm going to start out with a question. How many of you shouldn't be here? The Lord kept you from something. An accident, sickness. How many knows that it's only by the grace of God that you're here? Can we give the Lord a praise for that right now? Thank you, Jesus. And you know, I turned over in a Trailways bus doing 80 miles an hour. The driver was drunk when I was 16 years old in a terrible, terrible rainstorm. It's a miracle all of us were not killed. Only two of us were hurt, and we were the only two awake. Everybody else was asleep, and so I guess they just kind of rolled with the floor. They probably thought they were having a bad dream or something. I almost drowned twice. I mean, it's just amazing to me that I'm here. And then the life that I led before I came to Christ, it's a miracle that I lived through it. I'm going to tell you that story today. You know, when I was a little girl, we used to do jigsaw puzzles. How many of you have ever worked a jigsaw puzzle? Did you keep the box lid close by? Well, I wasn't very long into my life before I realized I didn't have the box lid to this thing. I thought I'd be married forever. I'm not. I thought my children would be perfect. They're not. Close but not. In fact, after my divorce, by the way, how many divorcees do we have in here today? Don't you ever let anybody call you that again. It was an event in your life. It does not define who you are. Now, if you see me doing this often, it's because my nose has been running for 4 years. I haven't figured out why, and no pill I take seems to help. So just get over it, okay? So I left Florida and went with my three children, April, Mindy, and Tommy, and went back to my hometown of Oklahoma City and started looking for work. And I found a job illustrating children's reading books, bringing home $65 a week. How many of us, that's not going to get it. I had to make some extra money, so I always thought I could sing, but I wasn't sure I could do it professionally. But starvation will give you a lot of courage. So I went down and auditioned with this little group, little jazz group in Oklahoma City, and much to my shock, they hired me. And so practically overnight, I was Oklahoma City's new jazz queen. That's how easy it is to get in show business. And so there I was working two jobs. Now, my daytime job, I was an artist, but that same company had a magazine called Key to Oklahoma City This Week, which told everything that went on in the city from burlesque to ballet. And so they made me editor of that thing. And so now I'm making $75 a week. And I had to make some extra money, so I was singing. And so I did the two-job thing, which was a two-job trap back in those days in the 70s. And so there I was, and I was never home. And it's kind of hard to raise a family when you're never there. And my girls began to get in trouble. Now, it got bad. It wasn't just a little bit of trouble. It really got bad. And I sent my son back to his dad, who'd remarried down in Florida, thinking it would just be a short amount of time till I got those girls straightened out. Well, they didn't get straightened out. They went to prison, both of them. And it was a real hard time for all of us. Well, some time went by. They got out and kind of went their own separate ways. And by then, I had put a show band together, and I looked just like Cher in those days. Can you dig it? I was real skinny then, had the long hair, the whole deal. I don't know what it is, Pastor. You get saved, you just get like a contented cow, don't you? You just...
And I eat like a cow, yeah.
And so... my girls went to prison, both of them. And so they got out and kind of went their own separate ways. And I hit the road with my band, and I literally lived in hotel rooms, sometimes 2 and 3 weeks at a time. Well, guess what's in all those hotel rooms? Bibles placed by the Gideons. Thank God for the Gideons. And you know, when you're looking for answers, you'll pick those things up. And I was definitely looking for answers, and so I began to pick them up. And, of course, we all know the Bible's the only book in the world where every time you open it, the author shows up. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit on the road with the rock band? He was there. Aren't you glad he doesn't care who he hangs out with?
Yes.
Thank God. And I'd open it up, and he'd show up, and he began to minister to my heart through his word. And the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it's amazing how some squiggly little lines in black on white paper can entirely change your life. But it's the supernatural presence of the Holy Spirit in his word. And I read a scripture. I mean, I read lots of them. Now, I want you to know I was raised in the church. I knew about Jesus. Well, I know about Clint Eastwood, too. I don't know him. There's a big difference between knowing about somebody and knowing them, isn't there? And I knew about Jesus, but I know him. And the more I read, the more I came to know him. And you know something? When you meet Jesus as he really is, he's absolutely irresistible. And I read where it said, now see, I always felt condemned. I always felt condemned. I didn't really know why I felt condemned. I had good parents. They loved me. They took care of me. And, you know, I was an okay kid. My two brothers, that was another story altogether. But anyway, we were just a nice family. But I felt condemned all the time. And then, brother, I realized why. I read it in John 3:19. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And for the first time in my life, I realized I was living in darkness and I did not have that light, Jesus Christ, living on the inside of me. And I went to my knees in that Holiday Inn in Owensboro, Kentucky, crying my eyes out, not under condemnation any longer, but under conviction. The Holy Spirit never condemned me, but he convicted me deeply. He does a good job of that. And I asked him to forgive me of all my sins, and I invited Christ to come into my life, and he wasted no time at all. I'd been waiting for that prayer for 38 years. And I got up off my knees, a brand new little baby Christian, didn't have a clue as to what to do next, so I did what I always did, and went right back down on the stage. And I got down there, and I looked around. The first thing I said was, "How come it's so dark in here?" It wasn't any darker than it had always been. It's just that the light of the world had moved in. And when he crawls up from behind your eyes and he's looking around, nothing looks the same ever again. And the second thing I noticed, this is really weird, I loved everybody in the room. I thought, well, what am I supposed to do with this? I thought, well, maybe a loving thing would be to tell them what I'd learned, which wasn't much, but it was more than they knew. So I started telling everybody in the nightclub about Jesus. That went over like a screen door in a submarine, I'll tell you right now. They really didn't want to hear it. Isn't that funny? The thing we need to hear the most is the thing we want to hear the least. But I couldn't help myself, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And that was big in my heart. Jesus was big in my heart, so that's what came out of my mouth. Well, it didn't take long. That got me fired, and that was okay. I was trying to figure out how to get out of that mess anyway, so that happened in San Angelo, Texas in August of 1977. I was to play in a big club down there. My band had not arrived yet. I got there early so that I could secure the rooms and all that, make sure everything was okay, and I went to the club, and evidently, my reputation had preceded me. Introduced myself to the club manager, and he said, "You're a Christian, aren't you?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're fired. I don't want any Christian in my nightclub." And I looked at him, and I said, "Cool." That was the answer to my prayer. I was good. You know, that was all right with me. And so I left a message for my band not to ever try to find me. They could have my equipment, they could pawn it, sell it, eat it, I don't care what they did with it. And so I went out and got in my car, and I sat there and I cried. Not because I was leaving a well-paying career, but because at that moment, peace washed over me. Because at that moment, I made him Lord of my life. I said, "Lord, I don't know what you want with me, but from this day forward, you have my undivided attention." He sure gave me his undivided attention on that cross. And I started driving north. I figured I'd hit Oklahoma somewhere. Had no clue where I was supposed to go. So I started praying about that. Well, pretty soon I start getting this kind of a homesick feeling for Lawton, Oklahoma. That had to be God. Nobody gets a homesick feeling for Lawton, Oklahoma. Where I graduated from high school in 1957. I'll wait while y'all count it up. I know you're doing the math. I know you are. I had no reason to go back there. My family didn't live there any longer. I had not communicated with any of my classmates in 20 years, but I just longed to look up my best friend in high school, Catherine Stanley. And so I got there and found a phone booth. Remember those? And there was actually a phone book in the phone booth. And Kathy's parents still lived on the same street, same phone number. And they gave me her number, and I called her, and much to my relief, she invited me to come over and spend the night. And I thought, well, that's good. At least I got a place to spend the night. And as I drove over there, I thought, she's going to think I'm crazy. She's going to ask me what I'm doing here. I don't know what I'm doing here. First words out of her mouth, "Well, what are you doing here?" And all I have is the truth. So I started telling her everything that happened to me. And pretty soon she lets out with a great big, "Well, praise the Lord." Like to scare me to death. "This is great. I'm going to have all the ladies in the church come over and meet you in the morning." I said, "Oh, swell." I was not thrilled. You know why? I didn't think I had the clothes to meet the ladies in the church. You know that one? Hello? Well, all I had was tight jeans and a t-shirt with something stupid written on it. It was either that or something wild and glittery that I wore on the stage. And I thought, I wonder which one I ought to put on for them. Woke up the next morning, sounded like 47 car doors slamming. I thought, oh, man, they're all here. So I got up and found my least tight jeans and my least stupid saying on my T-shirt and brushed out that long black share hair, came walking out scared to death. And I just stopped in the hallway and said a little prayer. I said, oh, Jesus, please let them love me. Little basic need we all have. So I took the big plunge. I stepped into that kitchen and those ladies turned around and they looked at me, grinning like a bunch of horses eating briars, you know, just. And they just loved me. Thank God. If they ever saw that stupid saying on my T-shirt, they were very careful, never let me see their eyes traveling across it. And it's just that simple, isn't it, ladies and gentlemen? We can love or condemn with just a look. And they came over and put their arms around me and welcomed me into the family of God. And for the first time in my life, I understood what the church was all about. Because Jesus said, they'll know you by your love. And those ladies personified the love of Jesus Christ. And this one lady was so cute, she comes up next to me. I just can't wait to hear you testify. I said, against who? See, my dad was the district attorney in Lawton for a lot of years, and I knew what that meant. And we had a wonderful time, and they left, and I said, Kathy, I need to call my kids. They think I'm in San Angelo, Texas. They've got my itinerary. Oh, get them all on the phone. She was so excited, and the girls had gotten out and kind of went their own separate ways, and I got Mindy on the phone. She'd moved to Greenville, South Carolina, and I said, Mindy, honey, you may not understand this, but I've left show business, and I've become a Christian. Long silence. And then I heard her crying. And she said, oh, Mama, don't you remember when we lived in Oklahoma City? I visited a little church in the neighborhood with my friend Melanie and her family, and I came home one Sunday all excited about Jesus and told you I'd been saved, and you got mad, Mama, and you wouldn't let me go back. And I thought, man, what was that about? And then I remembered it was the terminology that used to just irritate me. Get saved, ooh, something would just rise up inside me against those words. Well, that sure wasn't the Holy Spirit, was it? No, the Holy Spirit will never rise up in offense at what Jesus came here to do, to seek and to save that which is lost. No, that was a very unholy spirit called pride, coming against the very thing my family and I needed the most, salvation. I said, Mindy, honey, I guess that's just about the worst thing I've ever done to you in my whole life. Will you ever forgive me for that? You know, sometimes it's okay, parents, to apologize to your kid. It brings great healing. And she said, Mama, why don't you come on out here to Greenville and start your new life with me? I need you, Mama. And right away, I knew that's where I was supposed to go. So I went to Greenville, South Carolina, and I found a job and found a church and began living my life in front of my child, and I blew it sometimes. I'm backslide. I just blew it sometimes. Anybody else blown it yet? Wow, what a holy group. I bet y'all just glow in the dark, don't you? Anybody else blown it yet? Yeah, like every day. Especially with this, right? Aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? Thank God. Well, I called my son Tommy. I said, son, I'm off the road. I've settled down. Sure would like for you to come up and visit, hoping he'd stay. Well, we made the arrangements. His plane landed on Saturday night. The boy got saved Sunday morning. I mean, he wasted no time at all. He saw what he needed. He never went back. And now he has his own Christian charter bus company in Atlanta called His Majesty Coach. Google it. And he's doing very well. I got a call from April. I thought it was the good news. I was a grandmother. Instead, she was crying. She was in Tulsa. And she was crying. And she said, Mama, he's left me. 3 days before their baby was born, he walks out. That's what drugs will do for you. So she had my first little grandbaby out there in Tulsa all by herself, a little tiny girl, and she named her Summer. Now, we had two seasons, April and Summer. And April and little Summer came to Greenville and moved in with us, and April started going to church with us, and pretty soon she gave her heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you talk about a changed girl. The prison couldn't do it. The psychiatrist couldn't do it. One touch from the Master's hand, she's changed forever. And 3 years later, the Lord brought her new husband, Jim Summer. Now I have a granddaughter named Summer Summer. Don't tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor. And when she was in high school, she just signed her name Summer Square. Just put a little two up there. My mom came to the Lord when she was 83 years old. It's never too late. And if you'd have asked her any day before then if she was a Christian, she'd have said yes. Why? Went to church. How many of us going to church every Sunday doesn't even more make you a Christian than going to the garage makes you a mechanic? It's not filing in and filing out, is it? It's not belonging to the right religious group. No, it's that other term that used to just irritate the slop out of me. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. How personal can you get? He moves in. You know, I wish somebody had told me that when I was a little kid. I would have been very excited to know that God Almighty himself takes up residence on the inside of us. But no, he was just this historic figure that lived a long time ago that we're all supposed to believe about and try to please. Well, good luck with that. It's all outward stuff. But remember, he said, behold, I stand at the door and he wants to come in. I think the Apostle Paul said it best, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? Don't we run around acting like we're our own all the time? For you're bought with a price. Somebody's blood, I guess it makes you pretty special. Well, you know, I started talking about a jigsaw puzzle. Has this ever happened to you? Have you ever worked a jigsaw puzzle with somebody and you sat there watching them trying to cram a piece and there, you know, good and well doesn't go? You know, you're sitting there watching them thinking, you're going to catch on here in a minute. That doesn't go there. You know, I think God does that with us. We're all born with this big God-shaped hole. And we try to cram all kinds of things in there to make ourselves feel important, feel fulfilled, feel something. But there's only one thing that fits, and that's Jesus Christ himself. And the good news is, he said, when I come in, I will never leave you or forsake you. Isn't that just the best news you ever heard in your whole life? Is that the best you can do? I'm going to sing a song for you right now. This song is called Pieces. It's the title cut to my album, Pieces, and yet it's the only song on the whole album I didn't write. This was written by Stormy O'Mardian. It's a wonderful song, been around a long time. It's all about that puzzle. Listen to the words real close. Pieces, pieces,
so many pieces to my life, scattered all around, and some of them were gone, and I know that I could never put them all together again. Pieces, so many pieces to my life, a puzzle left unfinished, jumbled and unformed, and who could really ever get it all together again? In a vision like a daydream that filters through your mind, I saw Jesus coming closer, holding all my dreams combined. He spoke with great compassion as he put one hand on me. And with his other hand he held what I could never see. And he said, pieces. A thousand tiny fragments of every single day, I can put them all together, and there'll never be another one again. He said, I've got all the pieces to your life. I hold all the pieces of every single day. I can put them all together so they'll never fall away. Yes, I'll put them all together, and there'll never be another one who can. There'll never be another one. Pieces.
Thank you. Thank you. There'll never be another one. Jesus is plan A. There is no plan B. And you know, I never assumed that everybody in the room's a Christian. You know why? Because that was assumed of me all my life. And there's a lot of Christians in here this morning, and I sure hope you're praying right now, because there just might be somebody sitting here thinking, you know something? I know about him. I'm not real sure I know him. And there's only one way we can come to know him, and that's the way Jesus himself said. And since he said, I am the way, maybe we better kind of pay attention to how he said, don't you think? And you know, since Jesus said, I am the way, I'm always so amazed at all the different kinds of ways people are trying to get into heaven. How about this one? Well, I'm a good person. You know that one? Obviously, that person is deceived or they wouldn't say it. What they're really saying without realizing it is, I'm good enough to get to heaven on my own merit. The cross was a waste of time. Whoa. Or how about this one? Well, I'm Baptist. Or I'm Assemblies of God. or I'm Church of God, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm Lutheran, or I'm Methodist, or I'm Amish, or whatever. Well, there's a bunch of those up there, but that's not how they got there. Aren't you glad heaven isn't all divided up into denominations again? Can you imagine getting up there where the Catholic section's over here and the Baptists are over there and the Assemblies of God people over here? I don't think so. Aren't you glad heaven isn't all divided up into class levels? Queen Elizabeth's got to come the same way. Isn't that cool? God knows her family needs it. Well, we won't go there. And Jesus said something to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Remember Nicodemus? Came to Jesus at night. Does that make him the first Nick at night, you think? I don't know. That was a groaner, wasn't it? And Jesus said something to that man that to this day just irritates people. Why don't we like Jesus? If we don't like his words, we don't like him. You know why? Because he is the Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Remember that? And here's what Jesus said. You must. Notice he didn't say this is an option. You must be born again or you will in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. Well, that's pretty strong. I'm going to explain born again to you real quick. I think we try to over-spiritualize it to death. It's really not that hard. And the Lord gave me a really cool way to share it with a bunch of little tiny kids. And I can't improve on that. So I'm going to share that with you. I was with the Gideons one Sunday morning. And I speak for them a lot. And one Sunday morning, we were in this big church in eastern North Carolina, and I was supposed to share my testimony, and good Gideons always get there early, boy. And we were there early, and evidently one of the teachers didn't show up, so they grabbed me. We want you to teach the little kids this morning. I went, what? I wasn't ready for that, you know, so I got off in a corner and said a little prayer. Goes like this, help! Do you know that prayer? Anybody know that prayer? Isn't that funny how the these and thous just go right out the window when you really need to hear from God? And he gave me one word, fellowship. And I thought, fellowship? Well, I didn't have time to shift, you know, sift it through my brain like we usually do and ruin it for God. You know how we do that? Filter it through our intellect and mess it up. Because they just grabbed me, threw me in with these kids, you know, and I'm standing there. They're looking at me like a calf at a new gate, you know, just... Who are you? And I said, how many kids understand fellowship? You know, kitty cats like to hang out with kitty cats. And doggies like to hang out with doggies. And people like to hang out with people. And Lord, you can jump in every time now. I don't know where I'm with this. And then he showed me. And God is a spirit. Who do you suppose God wants to hang out with? Little kid on the front row. A spirit? I said, that's right, but God had this problem because he made these little dirt people. Can you imagine trying to fellowship with a little clot of dirt? So God fixed that. He breathed his very own spirit into those little dirt people, and he made them living spirit people. And then he was able to fellowship with them spirit to spirit. And then he said, okay, you guys, you can eat of every tree in the garden except that one. You eat that one, why? You'll surely die. Well, we all know they ate of it and they didn't keel over and drop dead. What died? Same kid. Their spirit? I said, that's right. And that was the fall of man. And so we're all born with this little dead spirit laying there. And God says, you know, I really miss fellowshipping with my kids down there. I got to do something about this. Well, he already had a big plan in place. He sent the very best thing he had, his very own son, to become the final lamb slain for all the sins of the whole world, little kid on the back row. Why? I said, because God's own blood is the only thing holy enough to wash away all the sins of the whole world. And so God became a man, and his whole purpose in life was to take that holy blood from that manger to that cross. He did a bunch of neat stuff in between. He did a bunch of miracles to prove he was God, and he taught all kinds of wonderful things, but it just made a bunch of people mad, and so they put him on the cross. But he wasn't surprised. He knew that's where he'd wind up, and When those nails went in and that holy blood came out, that took care of everybody's sin in the whole wide world. But all we have to do is to feel really, really, really sorry for our sins, because God's holy and he can't fellowship with sin. And so we ask him to forgive us of all our sins, and we invite him to come into our hearts, and he sends his Holy Spirit. Yep, same kid. Here he comes. Watch this. Here he comes. He comes in and he fuses with that little dead spirit and he wakes it up, and we become born again. And now we can fellowship with the Father once again, spirit to spirit. And that's what's going to heaven. Well, you know something? Those kids understood that. And I think all 30-something of them were birthed into the kingdom that morning. Can I ask you a question? Are you born again? Or are you still just giving mental assent? Well, doesn't it say whosoever believeth? Yeah, but the word believeth there does not mean give mental assent. The devil believes. No, that word in the original language literally means to cling to with all one's heart, soul, and mind as if there were no other way of salvation. And there isn't. Of course, that upsets some people too. I'm sure you've heard this one. I believe there are many paths to heaven. Yeah, I got a Hebrew word for that. Baloney. If that's the case, the cross was a waste of time. That's right. Jesus could have come and set up motivational seminars on which path to take. That's right. But he had to die, didn't he? Yes. All those other deities are created sons, flesh and blood, just like you and me. Their bones are in the ground. They can't help us. Jesus is the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so, I think it's kind of amazing that all those other deities weren't powerful enough to split the calendar right down the middle. It's not BB before Buddha. It's not BM. Oh, that's probably good. Before Muhammad. It's BC, before Christ, AD, Anno Domini, year of our Lord. And so I'm just wanting to make sure you understand what it means to be born again. There was never a day I didn't believe there was a Jesus. There was never a day I questioned his claims. But I was not born again. And so today, let's just make absolutely certain. You know, all the time I ask people, if you died today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you think you'd go to heaven? Well, I hope so. You know something? That's one thing I really want to know for a fact, where I'm going to spend my whole eternal future. I want to know that thing. And so I'm going to invite you to do something right now. If you don't know this man that we worshiped this morning, and the one I've been talking about, the reason we're here, if you don't really know him, let's just all close our eyes and bow our heads and open up your spirit and open up your heart to him. And let's just pray together in our hearts. Yes, he can hear you. He knows the thoughts and intents of our hearts. He knows exactly what you're thinking right this second, so we might as well just get really real with him. And just pray this in your heart with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you with faith as a little child. And I come to you empty-handed. I have nothing to bribe you with. After the cross, I certainly have nothing to impress you with. I come just as I am, a sinner, without one plea bargain. And I come with faith, believing that you, Jesus, are the Son of God, that you died on the cross for my sins, and that you rose again on the third day, that you ascended into heaven, and that you hear me now. Forgive me. God, forgive me for all my sins, all I've done wrong. Wash me with your holy blood and fill me up with your Holy Spirit and birth me into your kingdom. And with faith as a child, I receive you now as my Lord and Savior. And I thank you for the unspeakable gift of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. Now, you know what? I'm not going to do that. You can't sneak into the kingdom of heaven. Everybody's eyes open, everybody's heads up, and everybody looking around. If you prayed that prayer with me, if you understood for the first time what it means to be born again, I'm going to ask you to stand right where you are and come down here. Come on. Please don't let pride hold you back. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Come down here and show the world that you love Jesus, that you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you're giving your whole heart to him. You're giving everything to him. He gave everything to you. Come. Come now. Don't let anything stop you from this moment. What a beautiful thing on a Mother's Day to hear how God Almighty took a family like mine, a torn up family that was completely wrecked. Y'all, I just skipped over the top. I didn't tell you all the real bad stuff. You know, I don't think it's really necessary to do that. But my children are godly. My daughter April's the godliest woman I know. She's absolutely incredible. Your family, some of you mothers, you've got children that, how many of you have children that once knew the Lord, but they're kind of backslidden? Anybody? Can I say this to you? He's the author and finisher of their faith. He authored it. He'll finish it. And so I just want to give you hope. My brothers were praying for me. They put me on the holy hit list. That's why I'm here. Keep praying, mamas and daddies. Keep praying, brothers and sisters. Pray. It works. It unleashes the Holy Spirit to go after those people. And I'm telling you, that's his favorite thing to do. Thank you for letting me come today. God bless you. I love you so much.
You got one more. We got one more coming for salvation. We got one more coming for salvation. On this, please remain standing. On this Mother's Day, I'd like to have every mother who would say, I have a wayward son or daughter that I need to be praying for. I need to be patient and believing they're going to come to the Lord. I want every mother only that fills that position to step out and come to the altar right now. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Lord. Step into the altars, Mom. Oh, Lord, remember, the altar is where you do business with God. The altar is where we do business with God. Nothing touches a mother's heart more than their kids. Oh, Lord. 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 I just have this remembrance of a childhood chorus. And I think we can sing it right now for all of our lives, and the moms that are here can sing it for their children. And then, Donna, I'm going to ask you to pray over these moms. Some of you remember this from childhood days. If not, it's real simple, because it says, into my heart, into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus, come in today, come in to stay, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. See, it's simple. Now we'll sing it for our kids. Sing it for your kids. Into thy heart, into way into the lobby. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay.
Father God, we just love you today, and we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you that the Holy Spirit is your power unto us, and that we have the great privilege of releasing you, Holy Spirit, into our life stuff and over our children, and help us to know that's the most powerful thing we can do. Is release your Holy Spirit, release you, Holy Spirit, into the lives of our children. And help us to be bold enough to do that in agreement with our husbands, with our other children members, for whoever it might be, find an agreement partner. Because the word says, if we'll bind our children to you, loose the works of the enemy in their lives, release the power of the Spirit through agreement that we can have the things that we ask of. So we declare today, Lord, that our children belong to you and that they will serve you, Lord. Help us to trust you with that. That we don't have to do that. We don't have to make that happen. It's not by our might, but it's by your might, says the Lord. And like Abraham, when he looked into his situation of hopelessness, he said, I have no hope in hopelessness. But my faith grew, he said, as he praised and worshiped the Lord. And may we not let our children steal our joy, for you are the joy of our strength. Let us walk in faith and happy trust, believing you as we praise you and worship you. For the outcome of our families and our loved ones. And we declare this together in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Moms, Miss Dunn and I speak from experience. We speak from journeying the path that you have journeyed. Your kids don't need your condemnation. Your kids don't need your approval of their sinful lifestyles. Your kids need you to be straight and you to be faithful. One of the things our son said about us in his wayward days was, but one thing about you, Dad and Mom, you're always the same. You're always straight on with God. You've never varied from that path. Your kids need to see that in your lives. We're not going to receive a love offering for Tempe. Did you enjoy her ministry today? Was she good? I'm going to give her a very, very generous honorarium, and that comes from your tithe. So I thank you for being tithers. There are the occasions that we can do that, and out of the tithe, we will bless her abundantly today. You can be assured of that. Now, if you want to bless her anymore, I just want to say to you, she has a CD of vintage hymns. These are all hymns that she has recorded. You've heard her voice. It's beautiful. This is the Pieces is the song that she sung. All the rest of the songs on this CD are original, written by her. But the thing I really want to talk to you about is her book, The Little Dirt People. The story that you heard is written and illustrated, and it is phenomenal. Donna read it to me in the car going home last night after dinner, and between the mall and home, I got saved all over again. I'm telling you, every parent should have this. Every grandparent should have this. We will have this, and we will read it to our children. When we go to the Twin Cities this week, we will deposit this into the lives of Ryan and Rochelle for their family. This is that good. I have no idea what the cost of this stuff is. I don't care. If it's $10, give her $20 and bless her, or whatever. And I say to all you moms up here and out there, Happy Mom's Day. You're the best. Let's give a round of applause for all of our moms today. You're dismissed. God bless you.